Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Dalet. We will begin on Daf Dalet on Aleph, six lines from the top. We had learned previously that the pasuk says V'yotzu chinam ein kesef, that when a girl who is an Amar Avriya becomes a Nara, the Torah tells us V'yotzu chinam ein kesef, she leaves her master's home in kesef. And the Gemara taught us, in kesef adam zeh, this owner doesn't get any money. Aviyesh kesef adam nachar, there is a situation where a different owner is going to receive money. Manihu, what situation is that? That is the situation of a father, that the father gets the kesef kedushin. Ask the Gemara, v'hai v'yotzuchim v'hau chiyudasa, is this what we learn from this pasuk? We need it to teach us something that we learned in a braisa. The Tanya, we learned in a braisa, v'yotzuchinam. The pasuk says v'yotzuchinam eli meibagus. We know a girl's age in development is that when she's 12 years old and brings the simanim of a nara, she's a nara. At 12 and a half, she's a begeris. So teaches us the braisa. The pasuk of v'yotzuchinam teaches us early in the Bagrus that when a girl becomes a Bogeres, she is automatically freed from her owner. And Kesef, early in the Naris, that when she becomes a Nara, she's freed. So ask the Gemara, how can we use this pasuk of Yatzachinim and Kesef to teach us the din about Kesef Kedushin going to the father when the pasuk is coming to teach us these dinim? Amar Ravina, answers Ravina, in Kain, Lein Makra, Ein Kesef. The Torah should have said the word Ein Kesef without the Yud. My Ein Kesef. The Torah spells the words Ein Kesef with this extra Yud to teach us Ein Kesef Adam Zeh, that the owner doesn't get money when she is freed. Aviyesh Kesef, when she becomes a Nara Begeres. Aviyesh Kesef Kesef Lad Nacher, there is a different Adon that does get Kesef, and that is Umanihu, who is that the father of when he is Mekadisha. Ask the Gemara. Remind the Darshinin Hachim. And for where do we have a precedent that we explain a pasuk that we use that extra Yud in the word Ein to teach us a din? Answers the Gemara, the Tanya, for we learned in a Braisa. The Loch is, that the Kohen's daughter gets married to Yisrael, she's no longer entitled to eat truma. However, if the husband dies, the shava abe saviha, she goes back to her father's home, and she may eat truma. However, that is only if the zera ema, she has no children from that marriage. Says the Braisa, only ema zara, we only know if she has children, that prevents her from eating truma after her husband passes away. Zara zara minayin. How do we know that grandchildren prevent her from eating truma? Tamiloyner zara eila aila. Examine if there are any children or grandchildren. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the Torah is saying the extra yud ayin. Zara ayin. There has to be absolutely no children. If there are any children, descendants, grandchildren, the halacha is that she doesn't need truma. Another pshat is that the word ayin can be spelled and hey are letters that are interchangeable. Ayin, if there are no children, then she eats truma. Hey, if there are children, she does eat truma. Ve'ein ela zera kasha. But that is only if she has children who are kosher. Zera pasul minayin. How do we know if she has children, but they're not legitimate children, that they too prevent her from eating truma? Tamalayna zera ainla. There are no children. Ainla. Examine if there are any children. So the Rishonim asked, Tosfos asked the question, pasul pshat zera pasul means if there's a mamzer. If there are children who are mamzerim, then that they too prevent her from eating truma. Asks Tosfos, if her children. If she has a child that's a mamzer, that means she obviously had an inappropriate relationship. If she had an inappropriate relationship, the din is that such a woman is not entitled to eat truma anyway. So what's the difference who the children are? So Tosfos, because of that pshat, because of that question, has a different pshat. He says it's not that she had children who are illegitimate, it's she has grandchildren who are illegitimate. And the Brice is teaching us that such grandchildren prevent her from eating truma. That's one pshat. Another pshat that Mashal suggests is that when the Gemara refers to Zerah Pasul here, it means that she has children who are a Petsuadaka, a Kroshivcha, an Animus, children who are unable to have children. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting perhaps only if she has children who are able to have children, or they're able to have future generations, such children prevent her from eating truma. But if these children, grandchildren, cannot bear further children, that should not be considered as if she has descendants. That's why the Gemara has to teach, that's what the Braisa teaches us, that even such children prevent her from eating truma. But yet, there's another pshat that I saw. And that pshat is regarding the question if a woman had became pregnant, B'chanan Vassman suggests this pshat. B'chanan speaks about a woman who became pregnant bambati, where another man's semen entered her body. In our world, this would be called artificial insemination. And the Gemara is referring that if a Kohen's daughter conceives a child in such a manner, she does not become a zayna, since she didn't have a bia asur, a forbidden bia. Our Gemara is teaching us that nevertheless, a bas kohen who conceives a child in such a manner from Yisrael may not go back to her father's home to eat truma, since she has a child from Yisrael. However, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky mentioned that there's a machlokes regarding the yichus of a child who's conceived in such a manner. The Beis Shmuel says that a child produced is by such a, in such a manner is considered the child of that father, even though he was conceived without bia. And the Beis Shmuel further says that the father would be mekayim mitzvos pruvu by having such a child. The Chalkus Mechaytek, however, is not quite sure what is the status of this child, and he suggests that a child produced without a bia doesn't have a halachic connection to his father, and for the same matter, he says, the father would have not fulfilled the mitzvah puravu. Says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky that according to the Chalkus Mechaytek, we can't follow Rav Chanan's pshat, for it is possible, he says, that according to the Chalkus Mechaytek, that a bas kohen who conceived a child being bati, even though the father is Yisrael, she may continue eating truma. Since the child, according to the Chalkus Mechaytek, has no legal father, he's not considered the son of Yisrael, and such a child would not prevent his mother from eating truma in her father's home. Ask the Gemara, how can we use this pasuk to teach us the din of Zera Pasul? We just explained that we use this pasuk to teach us that even grandchildren prevent a grandmother from going back to her father's home and eating truma. Answers the Gemara, Zera Zara is for Kura. Regarding grandchildren, we really don't need a pasuk, for we have a rule throughout Shas, the B'nai Barim Arayim Kabanim, grandchildren are considered like children. So Kiyitzra, regarding whom do we need the Pasuk? We need the Pasuk only to teach us Zera Pasuk. And in fact, that is the din. The din is that B'nai Banim Harem Kabanim. Actually, the Rishonim point out that this rule that the Gemara is citing of B'nai Banim Harem Kabanim is really only as far as the mitzvah of Pru Uruvu is concerned. As far as the mitzvah of Pru Uruvu is concerned, there we say that B'nai Banim Harem Kabanim. However, I did see that the Paiskin do suggest a number of places where we apply the concept of Nebanim Kareim Kabanim, not only regarding the Mitzvah Kruvu. The Pesukim say that if someone passes away without any children, or he passes away without having any sons, certainly a grandson should say Kaddish because of the concept of Bnei Banim Harem Kabanim. Rekiv Eger says, we know that by Bris Mila, two brachas are said. One is the mitzvah Sivan Ala Mila, and the other is the mitzvah, is the bracha of Rach Nisoy Bebrisa Shal Avram Avinu. Says Rekiv Eger, what is the din if Rachman Tzlan, a child is having a Bris Mila and he doesn't have a father, who says the bracha of the Tzivanu Lachnisa Bebrisa Shal Avram Avinu? Says Rekiv Eger, the grandfather should say it, if he's there. Otherwise, the halacha is the mother says it. Because it explains Rekiv Eger, the bracha of Ala Mila is like the bracha on every other mitzvah, that before we perform a mitzvah, a bracha is recited. The bracha of Lachnisa Lebrisa Shel Avraham Avinu is a bracha that now we will start being mechanech the child to do mitzvahs. Since the halachi is that if a child, Rachman Tzlan, doesn't have a father, it becomes his grandfather's obligation to be mechanech him, because of the concept that we're discussing of Bnei Banim Harem Kabanim, it's therefore most appropriate that the grandfather should be the one to say the bracha of Lachnisoi Bebrisos Shel Avraham Avinu. Ask the Gemara, the Tana Gufa Gemara and Darosh Achi. So we've quoted already two Gemaras that learn from the Yud of Ayin Halachas. Ask the Gemara, where do we know that from? Says the Gemara, Ksiv, because the Torah says in the Parsha of Bilam, Me'ein Bilam, or Me'ein Yivmi. There where the Torah wants to use the word Ayin, the Torah uses it without the Yud, the likes of the Yud. So we see that the proper spelling of this word is without the Yud. V'hochak Siba Yud, and here the Torah does add the Yud. Shnami Na, the Drashu does, it's come to teach us that wherever the Torah adds the extra Yud, it's here to teach us a halacha. And that is indeed the din that we learn these halachas. In fact, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out that the Shulchan Aruch says that we have a Sefer Torah that has extra letters or missing letters. The din is that we don't take out another Sefer Torah in such a situation, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger wants to suggest that if a Sefer Torah has the word Ein without the Yud, since we're learning the halachas from this word, it would be different, and that would be considered a letter that's missing in the Sefer Torah that has a halachic ramification, and therefore the halach is that another Sefer Torah should be taken out. The Shaul Tshuvas Binyan Tzion disagrees. He says, the Shulchan Aruch says that we never take out another Sefer Torah, and he doesn't differentiate between this situation and that situation. So he says that we never take out another Sefer Torah, even by the word Ein. Rav Vosner, in the Shaul Tshuvas Shevet Halevi, paskins that if it's a situation of Tircha de Tzibura, or we already had seven people getting aliyahs already, then we shouldn't take out another Sefer Torah. However, if it's not a Tircha de Tzibura, and we have not yet called up the seven people who are supposed to get aliyahs, then the halacha says the Shevet Halevi, that we should take out another Sefer Torah. Says the Gemara, so we have two psukim. From the pasuk of Ein Kesef, we learn that the father receives the Kesef Kiddushin, and from the pasuk of the Chayim Kar Ishus Bitoi, we learned that the Mas Yedayim, the money the girl earns, goes to the father. Ask the Gemara, why do we need two psukim to teach these two dinim? V'tzach l'michtev kedusha l'avia. We need a pasuk that teaches that the kesef kedushin goes to a father. V'tzach l'michtev masvida l'avia. And we need a pasuk that teaches that what she earns goes to a father. Because rachmana kedusha l'avia, if we only had a pasuk that teaches the kedushin goes to a father, havni mishum d'lo tachibuhu. She didn't work for that money, so the father can receive it. Ava masvida, the katachibuhu. When it comes to her work, that she worked for that money, aim of the daha, she should get that money. V'yashmin Matsibra, and if we only spoke about Matsibra, the Kamitzimine, she is supported by a father. Ava Kedushin Amaka Asila, the money of the Kedushin comes from not in return for father supporting her. I would think that it belongs to her. Tzricha, that's why we need to have two separate psukim. And as the Ritva points out, even though the Gemara teaches us in the Masechta Ksubis that the father is not actually responsible to support his daughter, the deal is only that if the father wants, he doesn't have to support the daughter, and then she takes off her earnings, what she needs to live, and the extra she gives to her father, the Hadafa, still says the Ritva, since in most situations, fathers do support the daughter, it makes all the sense that that's why her earnings go to her. The Ritva points out that the Gemara Masechta Ksubis tells us the Min HaTorah, a father does not have the right to the Metzias. If the daughter finds a lost object, the father doesn't have a right to it. It's only a special Takana Rabbanon that the father receives the Metzias. Ask the Ritva, since a Metziah is something that the daughter finds without effort, it should be similar to Kedushin. And just like we're learning in our Gemara that the father is entitled to the Kedushin, he should be entitled to Hametzias Midaraisa. Answers the Ritva, you can't compare Metzias to Kedushin. Because since when a girl gets married, the father loses jurisdiction over her. He loses the right to marry her off. He loses the right to sell her. Therefore, it makes sense that the Torah should grant him the Kedushin money. However, there is no such reasoning involved regarding the Metzias. That's the Ritva's answer. Taisus in Masechta Ksubis gives a different answer. He says, finding the Metzia takes some sort of an effort, picking up the object, and therefore cannot be compared to Kedushin, which the father, which involves no effort on the part of the daughter. The Chalkas Mechaikik asks a question, why would be the din if a gift was given to this Ketana? Who is the father entitled to that money or not? The Tzaytzer Chayshin quotes a Rajba, Chivas Rajba, that says that the father is not entitled to the gifts that the daughter receives. On the other hand, the Tzaytzer says the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is that the father is entitled to the daughter's gifts. Says the Beis Shmuel that this question, if the father is entitled or not entitled to the gifts that the daughter receives, really is based on the machlokes of the Ritva and Tosfos. He says, according to Tosfos, that says that the reason the father is not entitled to his daughter's metzias, because midaraisa, and because even finding a metzia takes effort, so according to that, the father is entitled to a gift, because she, to him, a gift is similar to Kedusha money. Just like he's entitled to Kedusha money, he's entitled to the gift. Both didn't involve any effort on the part of the girl. However, according to Ritva, that the reason that the father is entitled with a raisa to the kesef of Kedusha is because it's compensation for his loss, that he can't sell the daughter anymore. That doesn't have anything to do with money, with a gift that she received, and therefore, according to the Ritva, the father would not be entitled to gifts that she received, certainly not midaraisa, he's not entitled to it. Gufa, it continues the Gemara. We learned, we quoted a braisa earlier. The pasuk says, V'yatzachinim elimei bagris, and kesef refers to elimei naris. Ask the Gemara, V'lichta rechmana naris, let the Torah just write the word naris, and if a girl, when she's 12 years old, already goes out when she, from her owner's home as an amavriya, so certainly, like Barry Bagris, if she goes out when she's 12, there's no need to tell us that she goes out when she's 12 and a half. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Barzav Alimraza. And the way to understand this is as follows. If we only had one pasuk, we would say that the one pasuk is teaching us the smaller chiddush, and we would therefore apply the pasuk to Bagris. And we would say that the girl does not go out when she's in Nara. That's why we need the Pasuk to teach us both, and we know that not only does she go out when she's in Nara, she even goes out, not only does she go out when she's Bagelis, she even goes out when she's in Nara. Says the Gemara, we find such a concept elsewhere. Needed to have a Toshi V'Sachar. Just like we find the din regarding the Toshi V'Sachar. The halacha is that the Torah teaches us that every Kanani is considered Kenyan Kaspoy, considered owned by his owner, and therefore an Eved Kanani eats Truma. An Eved Ivri does not eat Truma. It's interesting to note that Mepharshim point out, if so, why does a wife eat Truma? Just like an Eved Ivri is not considered the property of his owner, so too, as we explained in the first year of our Masechta, an Isha, a wife, is not considered the property of her husband. So if so, why is the din that the wife eats Truma? So Mepharshim explained there is a fundamental difference between an Eved Ivri and a wife. A wife, an Eved Ivri, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, there is a term to his time that he's an Eved, 6 years, Yovel. However, a wife is forever. And therefore, even though she may not be considered the property of her husband, she certainly is more similar to an Eved Kanani, and that's why she eats Truma. Says in the middle to have a Tosh V'Sachar. The Tanya Torah says, and the Pasuk says, the Kozor L'Yerch L'Kodesh, Azor Yisrael may not eat Truma, Toshiv Koyin V'Sachar L'Yerch L'Kodesh. So says the Brisa, who is a Toshiv? Says Kenyan Olam. We know the Torah says that if an Eved Ivri, after the 6 years of being an Eved Ivri, and it's time for him to leave, says, I have to, as Adonis Ishti, why Eitz HaChafshi? I refuse to go out free. So the Torah teaches us in Parshas Mishpatim, for Lakach Adonav, his owner should take him to the door, for Ratzas Oznav Matzea, make a hole in his ear, Vavodai La'olam, and he'll be his Eved until Yovel. Toshiv Zekani Kinyan Olam. So Toshiv is such an Eved who's a Nirtza and works to Yovel, and the Pasuk is teaching us that he doesn't eat Truma. Sachir Zekani Kinyan Shanim, that's the regular Eved Ivri that works for 6 years. Says the Braisa, Yom Toshiv Olam Sachir. Let the Torah just teach us the din that a regular Eved Ivri, that an Eved Ivri who is going to be a Nirtza isn't entitled to eat Truma. And obviously, the Layam Sachar, it will be obvious that the Eved Ivri, who's only an Eved Ivri for 6 years, when he Omer, it will be obvious to us, Kani Kinyan Olam and Eichel, if this Eved Ivri, who's going to be the Tayyavel, is not entitled to eat Truma. Kani Kinyan Shanim, the one that's only there for 6 years, Lakashke, asks Rabbi Chanan, why is it obvious to the Gemara that just because an Eved who's an Eved till Yovel doesn't eat Truma, certainly the one that's an Eved for 6 years doesn't eat Truma. An Eved that's an Eved till Yovel can be an Eved for a year or two. Let's say this act of Ritzia took place a year or two right before Yovel. So what's so obvious to the Gemara? So Chana explains a very interesting Chiddush. He says, actually, the Eved who's an Eved, who's a Nirtza, is really an Eved forever. Just what? The Torah said that the Eved, who's an Eved forever, Yovel breaks that Abdus. Like we find Yovel breaks Abdus, breaks many halachas. But it's not that he's not an Eved forever. And since he's actually supposed to be an Eved forever, we could well understand why the Gemara's reasoning. Ilkein, says the Braisa, if the Torah had only mentioned one person, either only the Toshiv or the Sachar, says the Gemara, I would have reasoned differently. Hayisi, I mean, we would then say that a Toshiv actually means Zekin and Kanishanim. That a Toshiv means the regular Eved Ivri, who's an Eved for 6 years. Ave Koni Kinyan Olam, the Eved Ivri who's an Eved till Yovel, perhaps Eichel. That's why the Torah says both a Sachar and a Toshiv. Bas Sachar v'lim la Toshiv. That's what the Torah says both a Sachar and a Toshiv. To teach us, Sha'ab b'shikani kinyan olam, ein oichel, to teach us that both types of avodim don't eat, because if I only had one pasuk, I would perhaps say that it's only referring to regular avery and a nirtza mei truma. So we see this concept of boza v'limnoza. Amra Abaya asks Abaya, Midami, how could you compare the situations of Toshi v'socho to Narus and Bagrus? Hosom, by a Toshi v'socho, Trey Gufi Ninu. We're talking about two different individuals. A Toshi is a Toshi. That's a Eved Nirtza. A Socher is the regular Eved Ivri. They're two different individuals. And the Chinami, even if the Torah would have explicitly told us the Toshi of Nirtza Yochel, if the Torah told us clearly that a Nirtza is not entitled to Yitzhuma, we still could understand why the Torah would again explicitly tell us that a regular Eved Ivri doesn't eat Yitzhuma. Because we would say, even if the Torah told us that a regular Eved Ivri, the Sochir, also doesn't eat Truma, it would not be a problem. Because it would be a situation of a Sochir Mel Sadas of a Kavachaymer. It would be something that we learned with a Kavachaymer. And we know there's a rule that Mel Sadas of a Kavachaymer, something that we learn from a Kavachaymer, Tarach the cost of Lakra. Sometimes the Torah goes out of the way to write it even though it's obvious. And in fact, I saw Pshat from the Imri Emes. What is the reason that Milsa the Asi Bekav Choymer Torah the cost of Lakra? He explains that we don't find, because his question is, we don't find regarding the other situations where the Torah learned something. We know in the Brisa we say from Yishmael, Gzor Shavah, and the other types of Lamudim, there is no concept, the Milsa, the Asim, Gzor Shavah, something we learn with Gzor Shavah, Torah for Kasa of Lakra. So why here does the Torah mention it? Says the Umri Emes, because a Kal V'Chomer is the only type of Limud that's based on our logic. And the Torah is teaching us that perhaps our logic is not correct. And the only way we know that our logic is indeed correct, Torah, the cost of Lakra, when the Torah mentions it explicitly. In fact, there's a vart from the Chidushi Harim very much in line with this. We say every day in the Parshas Pitim HaKtoros, Tani Bar Kapora, Ilo Hayu Nosim Bar Kotev Shadvash, if there would be a drop of honey put into the Torahs, Ein Adam Yochel Lamet Meirechli, nobody could withstand the odor. V'yame Eman Barim Bar Dvash, so why don't we put any honey? V'meshe Torahm Kichos Zor V'chol Dvash, L'esatir Mani Isha L'Hashem. So it's an obvious question, asked the Chiddush Rim. We just said we don't put any honey into the Ketayus because Ein Adam Yochel Lamet Meirechli, you can't withstand the smell. So why is the Torah adding, why is the Bar Kapar adding the Pasuk? To teach us, just because we think something is a reason, that isn't enough of a reason to follow that. Only Shatayu Amra, only because the Torah tells us, that's why the halach is that we don't put in the vash, not because of our own logic. On the halacha, but ask the Gemara, Chad Gufahu, we're referring to the same Amar Avriya. So he asked another Naris if she's released when she's in Nara. That was my Begeris. She's no longer by him when she's a Begeris. So why do I need a pasuk to tell us that she's released by Bagris? Says the Gemara, Elam Abaya, by Nitzucha Elam Abaga the Aramis. We know that a girl, when she becomes 20 years old, the halacha is that she is, when a girl is 20 years old, she, if she did not bring the simanim of a Nara, that she brought the simanim of an illness, that she can't have any children, she's considered an illness. And the pasuk is teaching us that that girl is released at that age. Kasakadat chamina b'naros taipak. Only a girl when she becomes a nara does she get released. However, a bagus, this girl who's an illness, never has the status of being a nara, and therefore lo taipak, she never leaves the owner's home, commandment one, therefore the Torah teaches us that she does get a freedom when she becomes, when we establish that she is an islandess at 20 years old. The question amongst the Mepharshim, how does that work? Does it mean that she's retroactively released from when she was 12 or 12 and a half, or she's only released now at the age of 20. The Briskera says, not only established that her idleness is unlike other women, and she only becomes an adult by the age of 20, we could understand a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, "V'yuchai sara le'ishanim v'esrim shana v'shavishanim." And Rashi says, famous Rashi says, "Bas kof k'bas chof l'chait, ma bas chait chof l'chatosh re'ein bas anshin." Until she's 20, she's not a bas anshin. At bas kof b'lechait. Ask the Briskerov, a girl doesn't become a bas anshin at 20. A girl becomes bas anshin at 12 when she becomes a bas mitzvah. So what's the age of 20? The pasuk should have said the age of 12. Answered the Briskerov, we know that Sari Imenu unfortunately was an idleness. And as Al Gemar just taught us, the age of godless, the age of maturity of a idleness is at the age of 20. That's why the Torah tells us, by Sara, bas kuf k'bas chof. Maskif lom marbaravashi asks marbaravashi v'laf kavachomru, why can we make a kavachomru that an idleness goes free? Or masimonim, if naris she'em etzim reshus av, doesn't take her out of her father's jurisdiction, because as we said in the previous daf, a girl who's a nara, what she earns goes to her father. Metzim, but when she becomes a nara, mishus adam, she leaves the adam's jurisdiction. Bagris, so bagris she metzim mishus av, which does take her out of her father's jurisdiction, because even a girl who's not married, once she becomes a begeris, she's no longer in her father's jurisdiction. In addition, it seems just adam. Certainly, it should have the ability to take her out of the adam's jurisdiction. Ask Tysus, why don't we bring a raya from Mises Av, which takes her out from her father's jurisdiction, but doesn't take it out of her owner's jurisdiction. So we should say the same thing regarding Bagris. Even though it takes her out of the father's jurisdiction, it doesn't necessarily take it out of her owner's jurisdiction. Says Tyson, you can't compare the two. By the father's death, nothing really happened to her. She's the same girl. However, Bagris, since it's a physical change, so certainly it makes sense that she should be released from the owner's jurisdiction. The Arsimeh answers differently. He says, actually, when her father dies, she becomes like Hefker. And the first person that gets ownership of her is herself. She, so to speak, is in most in contact with anybody, with herself more than anyone else, and that's why she goes free. The Arsimeh also asks, why do we need a Kavachomer to teach us that Amr Avri goes out with Bagris? If the halacha is that a father can't sell her after she's a begeris, certainly she can't. If the father can't sell her after she's a begeris, certainly her sale, she's no longer in the Adam's Rishus at that time. It's not a good question, because we see that just a father can't marry off a girl once she's a begeris, but if he marries her off earlier, she does remain married even after she becomes a begeris. And therefore, that's not a perfect comparison. Ela Marvashi, what do I need this pasuk to tell us? The Nitzchah Ikas Vina Ba'alas. The pasuk has come to teach us that an idleness can be sold for a mavriya. Because we may think that Asi Simoni Naris, only a girl who's ultimately going to bring Simoni Naris, Havas Vina, could be sold as a mavriya. However, the way Asi Simoni Naris, a girl that will not bring Simoni Naris, Loi Havas Vina Zvina, she should not be able to be sold as a mavriya. That's why the pasuk teaches Kamashmanav Yotzachinam that even though this idleness will never be a nara, she could still be sold as a mavriya. Ask Tysus, how do we know that a girl is going to be an ironess. As we just said before, a girl is only established to be an ironess when she's 20 years old. So when she's being sold, we don't know she's going to be an ironess. So what does the Gemara say that a girl who's going to be an ironess should not be able to be sold? How do we know that this girl's going to be an ironess? So Taisha says, of course we don't know that the girl is going to be an ironess. What the Gemara means to say is that because of this, every girl, because of this, where if she turns out to be an ironess, the Gemara and the Havmina thought that maybe that will retroactively nullify the entire sale. And she was never an Amavriya, and what she earned and what was paid should all be given back. That's why we need a pasuk to say that's not the case. Tosfos Rid says a different pshat. Tosfos Rid says that a girl that's, as we said, only becomes an ironess at 20. The chiddush is that could we sell when she's 18? Because she isn't yet a nara, but we know that she's not going to be a nara because the age of nara is past. And she didn't bring the simoni naris. So maybe the Gemara is saying is, can we sell her at 18? And then when she's 20, we'll see if she is or isn't an ironess. Ask the Mefarshim, if the din would be that a girl who is an ironess cannot be sold for an Amar Avriya, so then we would never be able to sell any girl for Amar Avriya, because the halacha is ein holchim b'mamon achra roif. So by every girl, we should be concerned that maybe this girl is going to turn out to be an ironess. Answer the Mefarshim a very fundamental teretz. They say as follows, that the halacha here of an ironess, or when we say that most women are not an ironess, we're not speaking about the ability or the inability for her to be sold as an Amavriya. We're speaking about, is she or is she not an ironess? Once we establish that she's not an ironess, then that has ramifications regarding the ability to be sold or not. Since the question that's being discussed is not a question that is directly involving Hilchis Mamonis, this is not a situation of Holchim or Ein Holchim or Mamon Achar Harayf. Says the Gemara. Remember, Maharashi, Dami Vilav Kavachon, who asked the Gemara, now that we have explained that the pasuk of the Yotzachinim comes to teach us that she, that in Kesalab Zaviyesh Kesalab Nachar, Maharashi, according to Maharashi, who said, isn't it evident that ironness gets freed at Bagris? Haminin, Milsa the Asma Kavachomer, having said before that something, even though we can learn something with a Kavachomer, Torah for Kosov Lakra. So what's the question that we knew? Through a Kavachomer, we already established in Adam Aleph that even things we know from a Kavachomer, at times the Torah mentions. So what was the problem that the Torah taught us this then? We know it from a Kavachomer, even though we know it from a Kavachomer. The answer is the Gemara. Even though there's a rule, that's when there's no other opportunity to do something with the, no other way to explain the pasuk. So now we say that the pasuk has come to teach us something that we can learn from a kavachomer. However, certainly, where we can use the pasuk to teach us something that we don't, and not just repeat something that we know from a kavachomer, but shniyeh, it's preferable to use the pasuk for that purpose. The Tana Maislim Ahocha, the Tana brings a raya from this pasuk that kesef could affect the kedushin. The tan ki yikach ish isha or bala v'hayim lo mitzah chayim ba'inav ki matzah ba ein kicha ela b'kesef. And when the pasuk uses kicha, we know that kicha means kesef, as we said in that base, became roimer, as it says by Ephraim, nusati kesef asada kach kach mimene. Kicha means buying. In fact, the Be'er Ma'im Chaim teaches us that the Torah says by when Moshe Rabbeinu was hidden by his mother Yocheved, the pasuk says v'lo yochel oid etzpina v'tikach lo teves koma v'tosim ba'asa yelad. Ask the Baal Ma'am Chaim, why does the Torah have to mention such a long-winded pasuk? The pasuk should have just said v'tosim ba'asa yelad v'tik v'teves koma. So he says that the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah by Flamid teaches us that it's important to not take hadassim from the fields. That somebody should not just cut hadassim from the field, because maybe that's not, it's gezeirah, and you shouldn't use such hadassim. That's why it's important to know that you buy the hadassim from people who truly own them. And that's exactly what Yocheved's thinking was. She knew that this was Moshe Rabbeinu, who was going to speak with the Shechina. And therefore, she was very careful that Moshe Rabbeinu should not have any shaykhis, not have any connection to Gzela. And that's what the Prophet says, for Tikach loy Tevus Koyma. She brought the Tevus Koyma, not the Moshe, as the Prophet says, Tikach means the Kesef buying, the Chas V'Sholem, he should not come in any connection to Gzela. Ask the Gemara, V'laydinhu, why do we need a Kav Choymer to teach us that a woman is Nikna B'Kesef, Kedushin B'Kesef? Why don't we say the following Kav Choymer? Oma Amavriya Shein Hithubiya. If an Amavriya would be a can't affect her purchase, Niknas B'Kesef, Zu Shein Niknas B'Biya, Ein Adin Shein Niknas B'Kesef. He says, no, Yavam Tachich, we'll bring a ride from Yavir, Yavam. Then we learned in our Mishnah that the halach is Shemiknas Kabir, a Yavamah becomes the Yavam's wife of Bia, they Miknas Kesef, but not through Kesef. So the Gemara, you can't follow that objection. Because now Yavam Shein came Miknas B'Shtar. A Yavam Shtar doesn't work for either. Tam Vazu Shemiknas B'Shtar. Here Shtar does work. So therefore the cases are not comparable, and the Kav Choymer stands, and therefore, however the Brisa says, Tamlam Kikachish. Ask the Gemara, what's going on here? We just brought a good Kav Choymer proving that Kesef would affect Kedushin. So Halam Ali Kral, why do we need a Pasuk? Hasulah, can't we learn through a Kav Choymer? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Mishum de Ikka Lameinu Me Ikka Dadina Procha. We can learn it from the original Kav Choymer is difficult. Mech Kamaisis Law. Where do you want to bring the din that Kesef works? You want to prove it from Amavriya. Amavriya has a din. She can yotze b'Kesef. She could be freed by money. If the Torah tells us that if she pays up the amount of money that the owner paid for her, she goes up free. Tan Vizu, however, a woman, as we learned in our Mishnah, a wife, any yotze b'kesef, so we can't learn it from a mavriya, and therefore we need the pasuk of ki kach ish. Asks Rabbi Chanan, in the coming Gemaras, Rabbi Chanan Vassman, in the coming Gemaras we're going to be trying to prove through a Kav Choymer different dinim, different rules regarding Kedushin. Ask for the Chanan, don't we have a rule, ein einshim and adin, that we can't give an einish based on a Kav Choymer? So how can we use Kav Choymer to teach us these dinim? Answers Rabbi Chanan, the rule of ein einshim and adin is if the entire purpose of the Kav Choymer is to teach us what punishment should or should not be given. We can't rely on Kav Choymer for such a situation. However, says Rabbi Chanan, here we're trying to prove if this is or isn't an effective way of creating Kedushin. The repercussions that there may be an Onish, that it turned out that she was an Eishes Ish, that it was Chas V'Shalom Mezana, is not the direct purpose of the Kav Choymer, and therefore it's not a situation of Ein Onishim and Adin. Says the Gemara, so we've had two psukim to teach us the din of Kedusha Kesef. Itzuk Mechtav Yatzachinam, both of them teaching us that Kesef affect the Kedushin. Why do we need two psukim? Says the Gemara, Ikas Rechmaya Kikach, if the Torah only said Kikach, how many Kedushin do Yav Labal the Da have? The money of a Kedushin that now receives from her husband, that is hers. Therefore the Torah says the Yatzachinam, that the money of a Naris Kedushin goes to the father. Because of Rechor of Yotzachinam, having a Hechel to Yav Eel the day, that if she gave the money to the husband, the Kiddushin, and that's how the Kiddushin was effective, how the Kiddushin should be an effective Kiddushin, because Rechman Kiikach, the husband gives the money to the wife, and the wife Kisikach, not the other way around. Uvala, The Torah says the words Vala Malamich Nikmas Rabia. Rabia affects the Kedushin. As the Mavilai Dinhu, it's obvious. Omar Yavama Shain Nikmas Pekesef. If Yavama, where Kesef can't affect the marriage, Nikmas Rabia, Bia does affect a Yibam, Zu, this woman, she Nikmas Pekesef. In the day, she Nikmas Rabia, the Bia should affect the Kedushin. So tomorrow I'm Avriyah, we could bring her away from Avriyah. She Nikmas Pekesef. She could become an Avram Avriyah through being brought with money, then Nikmas Rabia. So tomorrow you can't. That's not a fair point, because Malav Ram Avriyah and Kinyan al Shemishas. Avriyah is brought as a servant. She's not brought as a wife. Tam Zul she Kinyan al Shemishas. So we should learn from the Kavachomer that Bia is effective. Tamalama Ubala. Ask the Gemara again. Falamali Kura. Why do we need a pasuk? Haasula. Didn't we prove it from a Kavachomer that Bia affects Kedushin? Why do I need a pasuk? Aravashi, Mishum de Ikalameima Nikadina Percha. The Kavachom could be refuted from its original source. Mech Kamaisisla. From where do you want to prove that Bia could affect the Kedushin? Miyavama. He said if it affects Yibam, if it could create a Yibam situation, it could certainly create a Kedushin situation. So the Mamal Yavama, she came to Kukuvar Megas. A Yavama already has Zika to Yavam. Time Bazoo in a regular situation of a husband and wife, Shane's a kook of a medicine. There's no Zika connecting this man or woman. Tamilamu Bala. So the Rishonim debate, what does the Gemara mean here? Some Rishonim say that since there's Zika, so the Yavam is really just picking up where the husband left off. So it's already, so to speak, somewhat connected the Yavam to Yavama. And therefore, for such a situation, B is adequate. But it's not necessarily going to be adequate in a situation where there is no prior relationship. That's one pshat that the Rishonim suggest. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests is as follows. As we've said, what is the purpose of Yibam? The purpose of Yibam is the Hotam Shem L'Ochiv, that the brother should marry his sister-in-law, and they should have children. So there, obviously, the goal of Yibam is accomplished through Bia. So it's obvious that Bia will accomplish a Yibam. But that isn't specifically the only goal in a marriage. And therefore, there isn't from there proof that every marriage could be created through Bia. And that's why we need the Pasuk of Vala to teach us that Kedushin can be affected through Bia.